How many are ready to go to hell? Trip to hell. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Trip to hell. That's what I'm talking about. That's happening in the last week of September through October. The meeting organizationally is right after service. We need everybody to get involved. Louis will be here, my son, and he'll take care of that. See him. He'll probably be in this corner over here. And then, do you remember last week's message on Jabez? Do you remember that message? We have with us some bookmarks with the prayer of Jabez on it to help remind you that no matter how much pain you were born in, raised in, God is able to step in between you and the pain, and He will bring to your life restoration. So if you'd like one of those, here's what we're going to do. We're going to offer them for $1. That's pretty simple. But the money is going to go to our Joshua Kids outreach of children at risk. And we'd love for everybody to get one. It'll be a reminder of what God wants to do in your life. So if you'll put $1, only one American dollar in one hand, we'll put the bookmark in the other. Please indicate to the ushers right now if you'd like to have one of those. Thank you very much. And while they're doing that, I'm going to ask those in the back to help me and get my scripture up in Proverbs chapter 10 here this morning. Proverbs chapter 10, and just go ahead and service the people. All it is $1. It's a fundraiser for our Joshua kids to reach those children. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 24 said, "The wicked man fears come upon him. The thing a wicked man fears comes upon him." We're going to need some more ushers. We got hands everywhere over here. So even if you're not an usher, act like you are one and help us out. "The thing a wicked man fears comes upon him, but the desires of the uncompromisingly righteous shall be granted." I want you to hear that. The desire of the uncompromisingly righteous will be granted. Look at the next verse, verse 25. "When the whirlwind passes..." Everybody say that with me. "When the whirlwind passes..." That's one nice thing about storms in your life. They will pass. "The wicked are no more," but watch this. "The uncompromisingly righteous have an everlasting foundation." I love that scripture. I love that scripture. Because you know what? If you've ever been in the middle of a storm, you think when it's over, there won't be anything left. Or you feel like you're never going to get out of it. And I have to tell you that Tina and I have been in one of the biggest, most fierce storms we have been in 34 years of ministry. It's a whirlwind. Now, a whirlwind is basically a tornado, or if you will, a hurricane. And sometimes we feel like things are being transformed around us and the landscaping is being all redone and things are moving. We think, "God, what are you doing in my life?" Have you ever felt that before? Anybody? Yeah? Okay, maybe you're in it right now. Before I go any further, though, I've got to tell you that yesterday I was on the golf course for the first time this year. And man, I tell you what, I think I broke a record. I took more strokes on that course than anybody that was out there yesterday. So that's how you win, right? You take the most strokes. No, you have to have the fewest strokes. Okay, some of you don't know that. But anyway, there was a group of golfers approaching the fourth hole. And this is another time out golfing. And suddenly, they were overtaken by this ominous storm. Rain, thunder, flashes of lightning everywhere. They forced to take shelter, and they ran next to this metal fence that ran along the side of the shelter. And out of the storm came this intense bolt of lightning. Bam! And lit up that fence like a neon sign. And they were like, "Whoa!" Nobody spoke for a couple of minutes. They're just gasping for breath. And finally, one of the golfers said, "Hey, guys, you know, on that last hole when I told you I got a 5, I really got a 7. Sometimes storms bring out the best in us. Sometimes when you're in a position when you don't know what's going to happen next, it helps us to refocus on what's important in life. Nahum chapter 1, verse 3 said this, "The Lord has His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet." That really encourages me, because when clouds come in and it gets dark and you see the wind begin to howl, I'm remembering God is on the move. The clouds are like dust of His feet. And so I know that God is in the middle of the whirlwind. And I think, okay, God, if you're in the middle of the storm, then what is it that you want me to know? Corrie Ten Boom said this, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." Nahum chapter 1 in verse 7. I want us to look at that particular verse. It said, "The Lord is good and a strength and a stronghold in a day of trouble. He knows, recognizes, has knowledge of, and understands those who take refuge and trust in Him." Isaiah 43 in verse 2, one of my favorite verses that I've learned many years ago and really helps me out, because it tells me that when I pass through the waters, I'm going to be with you, and through the rivers, they're not going to overwhelm me. Then it goes on to say, when I walk through the fire, hallelujah, you'll not be burned or scorched, and the flame won't kindle upon you. Now, I've got to read that over and over, because when I'm in the middle of a storm, I think I'm about to drown, or when I'm in the middle of the fire of a trial, I feel like I'm going to be consumed. I got to get back to this verse and say, God, You said. God, You said. Come on, say that with me. God, You said. You know, that really has to be our response in times of uncertainty and times of storms and times of fiery trial. We got to come back and say, God, You said. And that's exactly what Daniel did. Daniel and his three buddies, you know, they were in Babylon, and they ended up being thrown into a fiery furnace. Remember that? Daniel chapter 3? That is a crazy story. When you begin to read it, you know, they bound them up, and they had their coats and their trousers on, their turbans and all their other garments. They were cast in the midst of this fiery burning furnace. And in the next verse, it tells us that the furnace was so hot, so stinking hot, like out west, 114 degrees. Isn't that ridiculous? Death Valley was 128 yesterday. Okay, well, this was hotter, all right? He said, therefore, the king's command was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot. Watch this. And the flames of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In other words, the ones that threw them in the fire, it was so hot, they died on the spot. Now, that's encouraging to me, and it should be encouraging to you. Because if you're in the middle of a fiery trial, let me help you with that verse. Because that verse tells me other people died at the door. And you're still alive. Yeah, you got thrown into the furnace, but other people didn't even make it that far. They died at the door. Come on, look at somebody and say, they're dead at the door. Come on. They're dead at the door. They died, watch this, they died where your miracle started. Ah, you're not ordinary. You're not like everybody else. Come on, you're greater in the anointing of God and the purposes of God. And what brings other people down, where other people begin to give up, is where we just get started. Because we're not dead at the door. Hallelujah. I love that. I love watching people walk into church. And I love watching people walk out. The alternative is people walk you in a box, and walk you out in a box. Listen, you're alive. You have purpose. You got here this morning. You may be going through a trial, but where others left off, you just began. And I want you to know that God has a great plan for your life. He's got a great future scheduled. And with God, all things are possible. Come on, remember to say, God, You said. Come on, say that with me. God, You said. When you can begin to get that in your heart, you're going to realize that no matter what happens around you, God has something greater happening in you. I like to say it this way. If God wasn't going to bring you out, He would have left you die at the door with the rest of the bunch. I should have been by now incarcerated. I should have died a premature death many, many times. Boy, before I knew the Lord, I can relate to what Adam just said earlier. I was a real stinker. You know, I was an abuser. I was abused. I had all those things going on in my life, many of you as well. But guess what? We're still here. And if God was going to allow me to perish, He would have let me die at the door. I got up this morning and I believe that God has a purpose for me. He's got a plan for me. That this is a great day in God. I'm not going to allow circumstances to define my day or my joy. And I'm not going to let other people's opinions to minimize my belief and faith in my tomorrow. I just wanted to make that announcement. Also, let me make this announcement and put the rumor to death. I'm not retiring, I'm not terminally ill, and I'm not moving. Adam, you're going to have to get used to this. Maybe it's my age, but it seems like every once in a while, people say, I hear Kayton's retiring. You can't get rid of me that easy. Are you kidding me? I heard he's moving to Florida. You know? I heard he's... Now, that one about terminally ill bothers me. I'm a healthy specimen of a Holy Ghost man, all right? And I don't know where these people are talking. The building is not for sale. We're not going anywhere. We are going to see God do great things, all right? Come on, say it with me. And God, you said.
And God, you said.
All right, come on. I like 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8. The Bible said you're going to have trouble on every side. You're going to be hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. You're going to be perplexed, but not in despair. I like Romans chapter 8 and verse 37 that says, look, you're more than a conqueror through those who love Him. Listen, God, I know one thing. I'm in the fight of my life, but You labeled me a conqueror. You shouldn't have called me a conqueror. Because now I got to whoop somebody. I don't know. I've got to take care of business here, God. Because You called me a conqueror. I have to every once in a while go into my bedroom, look in the mirror and say, and God, You said. The scripture tells me in James chapter 1 and verse 2. I don't know why this verse is in the Bible. This bothers me. It says, my brethren, count it all what? When you fall into various trials. I guess the only way I can count it joyful is to remember all the dead bodies that I jumped over to get inside the furnace. I know that they died at the door and I'm still kicking. I'm walking around and wouldn't you know it, there was three of us and now there's a fourth man in the furnace. I believe that God's with me right in the middle of my trial, and God wouldn't allow me to get into this storm if He wasn't about to show me something, because I've learned something about storms over the years. Storms transform. And I'm about to be transformed in my life. James chapter 1 and verse 12 goes on to say that when you go through these trials or when you go through these problems, that you can begin to look for the crown of life. Because the crown of life is coming to those who love Him. Even when you endure great trial, endure great storm, I got my eyes on the prize. I just want you to know, I've read the end of the book. I know how it all ends. But even greater than that, I'm not trying to pull down any stronghold. Listen, I'm going to take my rightful place in the throne room of God and look down at the stronghold and say, get under my feet, Bubba, because God has made me to be a ruler and one who reigns with Him. Christians have an identity problem. We think that the devil is stronger, more powerful, that he has got greater authority than you and I have. No way possible. You've got to get it in your heart today that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Do you believe that this morning? Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7 tells us that trials are precious. He said the genuineness of your faith being more precious than gold that perishes though it's tested by fire. may be found to the praise and the honor and the glory and the revelation of Jesus Christ. Look, I've got something inside me. It's called my faith. And it's genuine. And it's more precious than gold that is perishing, even though it's tested by fire. My faith is going to grow. My faith is going to be stronger. My faith is coming alive. I believe God's making adjustments in my life. And no matter what the devil has planned for me, God has greater plans for my life that will, in due season, override, supersede, and outlast anything that the devil has on his calendar scheduled for your life or for my life. I believe storms transform. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 3 tells us that we need to look what God is saying in the whirlwind. Nahum 1 verse 3 says this, when a whirlwind comes, God's in the middle of it. When a whirlwind comes, God has something in it. Ladies and gentlemen, God has something in the disturbance that you're experiencing. God has something in the storm and trial that the enemy is using to try to defeat you. God's going to use to bring something to you that you maybe didn't even know that you need. But He is always on time. God is an on-time God. You will never realize the worth and the value of the anchor until you're in the middle of a storm. And I know this, Jesus is the anchor of my soul. And I wouldn't know the worth and the value of Him until I ever went through a storm. But when I'm in the middle of a storm and the floodwaters are rising and the wind's blowing and the rain's descending, and I cast that anchor out into the middle of the storm, I know this, that anchor will hold me right where I need to be. And you don't know the value and the worth of an anchor until you're in the middle of the storm. Get your eyes off the storm and get your eyes on the anchor. Get your eyes off the wind and what everybody else is saying and get your confidence on the anchor. He is a surety. He's a steadfast anchor that will hold us to our destiny and our purpose. Let me tell you a little bit about secrets in the storm that I've learned. And I'm looking for these secrets right now. Every day I'm getting up and I'm thinking, God, okay, I'm in this storm. I'm in this whirlwind of things shifting and things changing. All of these things happening around me that I can't really regulate. I really can't do anything about them. But I know one thing, Father, from my experience, there's a secret in this storm that you are about to reveal. Job 38, verse 1. Remember Job's experience? Man, he went through trial. He went through tribulation. He was going through all kinds of problems. Lost his family, lost his house, lost his money, lost his health, lost his dignity, lost his future. He felt it was over. All of his friends said, curse God and die. His wife was about to tell him, curse God and die. You're the problem. He didn't know which way was up. But God showed up. In chapter 38, and the Bible says this, God spoke to Job out of the whirlwind. Out of the storm, the voice of God appeared. Out of the storm, God began to declare and speak to Job the words that he needed to hear. Listen, if you're in a storm right now, you start listening for the voice of God. God wants to speak to you, and He will, because God is in the whirlwind. Remember, this was a story in the Bible that storms for believers are not the same as storms for unbelievers. They die at the door. You and I get to go right in the middle of the furnace. You think, I'm not sure that I wouldn't have chosen to die at the door. No. Your miracle's on the other side of where unbelievers will never get. I might be in a heated situation in the time of my life, but I know God is not one that He would lie. And in the middle of that furnace, I believe God's going to show up. Just like He did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, He's going to do for me. I'm looking for God to speak out of the whirlwind just like He did for Job. Because if He did it for Job, He'll do it for me. Remember 1 Kings 19? Elijah was called to go to a cave on the side of this mountain. He was feeling defeated. He felt like he was the only one left that was serving God. And all of a sudden in the cave, there was these storms that took place. Do you remember what the Bible says? The Bible said that when the wind began to blow, and it said, you know what? God wasn't in the wind. And then the earthquake came, and it said, God wasn't in the earthquake. And the fire came, and the Bible said, God wasn't in the fire. Isn't that interesting? That God isn't in the fire or the wind or the earthquake. In other words, God didn't send that storm to you. God didn't create fire for you. God didn't blow the wind so he'll blow your house over. No, that's not from God. That's from an enemy. But God said, listen, don't get your mind and your eyes on the wind, the fire, or the earthquake. And Elijah said, well, what should I do? He said, listen for the still, small voice. Because I'm about to speak in the middle of all of those manifestations of trial and all those manifestations of temptation. Be careful not to focus on the storm. Ladies and gentlemen, when you get up in the morning and you're going through a trial, don't recite it. Don't call your best friend and tell him how bad things are. Don't begin to meditate throughout the day that God doesn't love you and it's over and I don't know how we're going to make it and yada, yada, yada. No, no, no. You need to remember God's not in that thing. God's got a voice in the middle of it. Just like he came to Job, God's going to come to you. And rather than begin to be melancholy and depressed and allow these things to overwhelm you, why don't you get up in the morning and go, God, you said. God, you said. Others would die at the door. I'm in the middle of the fiery furnace. I'm looking for the fourth man. I'm looking for you to declare. I'm ready for you to tell me what to do next. You see, you and I have to discover God's secrets in your storm. Let me give you four quick secrets. Are you ready? Write them down. Number one, Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 4. The Bible says that Ezekiel saw a vision of God. And I can't really read the whole account of it, but it says he looked and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north. It's interesting because this whirlwind was specifically coming from the north. This one was coming to manifest something that Ezekiel needed to see. He said a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself and everything around it. The brightness was there and the radiating out of its midst like the color of amber in the midst of fire. And you know, if you read that whole story, it comes down to this. That storm came to show Ezekiel that you were created in my image. Because ultimately in this vision, God reveals himself to Ezekiel as the glorified one. Friends, when you go through a storm, start looking for Jesus being glorified in the middle of your trouble. Start looking for Jesus and claim him to be manifested as the glorified, risen Savior. What about 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1? Do you remember Elijah did these great miracles? He had a little follower by the name of Elisha. Do you remember that story? And they were on the way to make a journey, and Elisha said, you know, I'm going to go with you. And Elijah said, no, stay here. I'm heading out to this city. And Elisha said, no, I'm going with you. All the other people, and they said, well, okay, go ahead and come catch us on your return trip. And then, but Elisha wouldn't let him go. He went with him. And then into the second city, Elijah said, stay here. And he said, no, Lord, wherever you go, I'm going. And finally, the fourth city, and he said, you know, what do you want, Elisha? And Elisha said, you know what I want? I want double what's on you. I want double what's on you. I want greater anointing. How many want to walk in supernatural naturally? Man, I do. I want to be able to just flow in the Holy Spirit, discern the Spirit. Somebody asked me for prayer. I want to be able to get a word of knowledge and say, look, here's what God says about that. Or this is the situation here. Or lay hands on people in Walmart and watch them get healed. I want to get a word of knowledge that will come forth in the midst of a situation of my family. So God know where to go and how to go. But listen, this is amazing. The double portion of the Holy Spirit. What did Elijah say? He said, okay, all right, fine. If you see me when I'm caught up in the what? The whirlwind. Then you can get what you want. Isn't it interesting? Elijah said, dictated by God himself, if you'll see me in the middle of a storm, then you can have what your heart desires, and that is a double portion of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Church, can I raise our sights a little bit? Our sights are too low. We got our eyes on the radar. We're worried more about the storm than we are the God that has a gift and a secret in the midst of the storm. He said, you've got to see me when I'm caught up in the whirlwind. The Bible said a chariot of fire came. And all of a sudden Elisha looked and he said, "My father, my father." Because his eyes were fixed on Elijah. His eyes were fixed on his heart's desire and not the whirlwind around it. Get your eyes off the storm. Get your ears off of what other people think. Get your mind out of that past failure. Come on, we need to begin to focus on our heart's passion in the middle of our trouble. And suddenly what happened? The mantle fell from heaven. Man, that mantle fell right down to the ground. And Elisha said, "Woohoo! Whoopee! Yeah!" Whatever he said. I don't know what he said. But he went, he grabbed that mantle, and he went back and he struck the river, and it parted, and everybody said, "Look, Elisha has received a double portion of the anointing that was on Elijah." Because Elisha knew that in the storm there were God's anointing and great grace to be given to those who will look for it. What about 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 24? And there are numerous accounts throughout the Bible, but I've only picked out four. We're talking about greater anointing. We're talking about God's voice. Now I'm talking about something that every one of us needs in our life. Every one of us needs direction. We need to know where to go, when to go, and how, what we need to do when we get there. And the scripture tells us that David was in the battle of his life. And the Lord said, "Here's what I want you to do, David. Before you do anything, I want you to listen to the wind in the mulberry trees. I want you to get a hold of the fact that I'm going to send a storm. I'm going to send a whirlwind in the trees. And when you hear the storm, that's the time you need to make a move." Storms often are the times when people seek shelter. I don't know about you, but there's going to be times in the middle of a storm is when you need to make a forceful advance. You're not hiding away. You're not waiting for this thing to pass. You don't mind a little rain, a little wind. You're going to stand tall and believe God and walk forth in the call of God and not be daunted by it. Do you feel what I'm saying? And David got his direction. Finally, Acts chapter 2 and verse 2. The Bible tells us that there was a mighty rushing wind. The sound of a mighty rushing wind that filled the whole place where they were sitting. And it tells us that cloven tongues of fire fell down upon each of them, distributing them. Really, in the Greek, it says God splintered himself and laid himself upon each of those that was in that upper room. Out of that whirlwind, out of that mighty rushing wind, came the gifts and the graces of the New Testament church, that we can stand here like Adam stood here this morning and say, we can reach a generation, no matter how they've been brainwashed in their liberal thought, how far they are in their abuse or their addiction. It doesn't matter how down they become and how rejected and full of failure that they've known, because our God is a God of gift, graces, and power. And what He did for me, He'll do for you. And what He's done for others, He'll do for you. And this is a generation that is looking for a real God who's on time with real solutions and real answers. And it comes out of the whirlwind. So here's my conclusion. I've never been in such a storm in 34 years of church ministry. I thought about hanging out with the 50 other prophets on the other side of the Jordan. I've put in my time. I thought about staying in the cave like Elijah and going, "What the heck's going on?" I thought about retreating. Because in the middle of a storm, you seek shelter. I thought about, like those 380 people that saw Jesus raised from the dead, 500 and only 120 made it to the upper room. I thought about being named with the 380 and just hang back. Because you know what? I'm tired of storms. I'm tired of getting beat up. I'm tired of getting disheveled. I'm tired of losing stuff. I build it and it breaks down. I'm tired of it. I said, "Lord, I can't do this anymore." I thought about that. But then I read the Bible. Doggone it, when you read the Bible, it messes you up, doesn't it? I mean, it'll mess you up. Come on. God, you said. Come on. Tell me with God, you said. One more time. Come on. God, you said. When he said that he's going to speak to me out of the whirlwind like he spoke to Job, I said, all right. All right. And he asked Job, where were you? Where were you, Job? Where were you, Job? And I said, okay, God, if you brought Daniel inside the furnace, other people died at the door, God. Thank you, Lord. I didn't die at the door. I'm feeling a little fringed. I'm feeling a little weary. I'm feeling a little intimidated. I'm fearful. I don't know about my future, but you know what, this guy, God, I'm still alive. I'm going in. Because I believe that God is about to reveal himself. Church, let me prophesy to you today. Somebody make a record of it. This is June 30th, 2013. I believe that we are on the precipice of one of the greatest breakouts of revival that Northeastern Ohio has ever seen. You're a part of it. I'm a part of it. This nation will know that this region has been in a fight, has been in a storm, but our God is greater. Amen. Amen. This is my second conclusion, or third. I'm not sure which, but John chapter 3:3. Jesus equates the wind with the Holy Spirit. He said, the wind listeth, that's King James. The wind blows where it wants to blow, modern vernacular. You and I need to understand when the wind blows, it just might be the move of the Holy Spirit. And I said, God, peel away the onion, because I know that the onion has another layer. And if that outer layer has gotten marred and hard, and that outer layer doesn't want to be a part of it, and they're griping and grumbling and they're complaining, and they're tired of the fire, they're tired of the wind, they're tired of the earthquake, they're tired of all the problems. That's all right, God, just peel it back. Pull it back, God, because underneath that one layer is another layer. And I believe that God has a vision for your life and my life. Third closing, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, and the Amplified Bible says this. So you all know that I got to close because I got to go east. You know that. Watch this. The earth was without form. Yeah, that was my life last week. Pretty deformed, right? Huh? Can anybody equate with that? My empty waste. Darkness was on the face of the earth. Great deep. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering and brooding over the face of the waters. Hovering and brooding. Sometimes flapping the wings. Just moving back and forth. And I can't imagine that God, when he moves, if the Bible says that when God moves, clouds are nothing like but dust of his feet. And when I see the ominous dark clouds move in on my life, when I begin to feel the wind and I see all the storms and the destruction around me and the uncertainty, I got to believe something, that in the beginning God created the earth. And even though there was no form and there was all void of any substance, and even though darkness covered the earth, God is on the move. And the dust is the evidence that God is on the move. And the Bible tells me simply this, that the Holy Spirit is the source or the formative cause of all life and order. So I say, let the Holy Spirit blow. Winds of God, blow. Winds of God, blow. Winds of God, blow. Blow of our families, our finances, everything we've held secure and dear. Blow. God, remove and bring in new. God, thank you. We're still standing while others died at the door. They died at the place of our beginning. And we're still believing you for a manifestation of your absolute power and glory. Closing number 4. Psalm 40 and verse 1. What a great scripture. I waited patiently and expectantly for the Lord. And he inclined to me and heard my cry. You wait patiently and expectantly. God's hearing your cry. Even if the storm is raging and you can't even hear your own voice, God hears your cry. Verse 2 of Psalm 40. He drew me up out of a horrible pit, a pit of tumult and of destruction, out of the miry clay, froth and slime. Ooh, I like that. Nickelodeon did not create froth and slime. God brought us out of froth and slime. And he set my feet upon a rock, steadying my steps and establishing my goings. Look at me now. Come on. Yeah. Establish my goings. You say, you don't look like much today. Well, you hang around, Bubba. I'm about to experience a transformation. I'm in the biggest storm of my life. God's in the middle of it. The whirlwind will prove it. And on the other side, when the skies grow blue once again, and they will, you will see. And God said, and God did. What did he do? Just what he said. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Lord, I preached myself happy this morning. I'm so glad it's legal. I feel like, yeah, I'm high, all right. But it's legal. I want to pray for you this morning. Maybe you're going through a trial, storm, a tribulation. I wanted you to know who you were. You're miracle-making people. Others died at the door, and you know them. You've seen them. They've dropped off like flies. But you've walked through the threshold into the greatest pain of your life. But you understand something about that. God's in the midst of it. And he's going to redeem and restore, and we're going to believe him. Time doesn't change anything because God's not regulated by it. If you're here today and you say, hey, pastor, you know what? Talking about my future, I don't know if I'd go to heaven if I were to die today. I really don't know about my eternal life, but I really want to. Just for a second. If you're here today and you're uncertain, would you bow your heads? If you're uncertain about where you would spend eternity and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you want God and not the devil, you want heaven and not hell, you want eternal bliss and not eternal damnation, you understand now that God's in the midst of the storm and that you believe that he's for you and not against you. You say, pastor, pray for me. I need that prayer. More than ever, I need that prayer. And if that's you, I'm going to count to three. And on the count of three, I want you to acknowledge your need by simply raising up your hand and putting it right back down. All right? Are you ready? One, two, three. If that's you, hold it up and then put it right down. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? Let me see. Up high. Then put it back down. Thanks, man. Anybody else? You say, you know what? I'm one of these others who need God to move in my life. And I need you to pray for me because I need Jesus in my heart. If you didn't raise it, okay, I'm going to ask one more time. If you already did, don't do it again. Because this is your call. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? You say, pastor, include me. Shoot it up high so I can see it. Do it right now. Do it right now. Thank you. Way over there. Thank you. God bless you. All right. We're going to stand, and in a moment, we're going to stand, and our altar ministers are going to come. When they come around the front, they're going to face you. Those of you that raise your hand, I want you to come and pray with them. That's all we want to do. You're not joining this church. It's not about joining this church. It's about joining his kingdom. That's what it's about, okay? Jesus loves you, and he's got a great plan for your life. And we want to rejoice and pray with you. Now, we'll help you. We'll feed you the Word of God. We'll do everything we can to help you reach your point of destiny and purpose in your life. But today is your day of salvation. Are you ready? Come on, we're going to stand, and I want you to come. Ready? Come on, let's all stand. Altar ministers, you're coming right now with a big smile on your face. Everybody that raised your hand, don't make me come get you. because I know who you are. Come on, I want you to make a walk down that aisle and join these who are ready to pray with you. Can we encourage them this morning with a hand clap? Come on. God bless you guys. Come on. Yeah, come on. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on. We're waiting on you. Hallelujah. Come on, man. All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look somebody around you and say, look, I don't know if you raised your hand or not. I wasn't peeking. But I'll tell you this, I'll go with you if you need that prayer. Because I once stood where you're standing, and I know what it's like. So let's go together. Come on, would you graciously and compassionately look at somebody and ask them if they need that prayer and take them by the hand and bring them down to the front. Let's do it. Come on. Look over at somebody. Just smile at them. Say, do you need that prayer? And if you do, come on. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Awesome. 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 Great. Awesome. Woo! Now, what I'd like to do is, on the way out, we have a great big need that's come up in the church. I'm not going to give you all the details, but the ushers are going to be in the back with an offering bag. Would you be generous on your way out? This is a special offering, not our tithe, that goes to the ministry. So just be gracious, if you will. And then Nancy, she's heading up our pastoral care team. There she is. She's way in the corner. We want you to get involved in these backyard barbecues for our Summer Slam, okay? So get over there and sign up for one of them. I want you to be friendly. Check out Adam and talk with him. Welcome him. Let him know that you're behind him. You're 18 to 35. Get hooked up now. I think is there something going on tonight? Sunday night or no? Yeah. So they can get hooked. You can get hooked up 18 to 35 tonight. There's a killer activity for that age group. So you want to let him know that, okay? And then Trip to Hell. Where are you going to meet him at, Luke? Right here. Even if you're remotely interested in Trip to Hell, help us meet with Lou. He's standing right here in the front. Well, live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. We believe in you. God for you, not against you. Just remember.